Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. And Sim, it's starting to really feel like Groundhog's Day out here for the Purdue football team. Another week where they just kind of get in their own way and they just don't perform. And on Friday night, they really had a chance to. I don't think anybody really thought, that they were gonna pull off the upset, but a 35-0 loss, especially with the way that the offense played the week prior, is just, it's really deflating for the program.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it really does feel like it's Groundhog's Day. I agree with you, man. Like, I don't think anyone went into Friday thinking that Purdue was gonna win. Obviously, we were all prepared to, of course, everyone loves a field rush. But what you were hoping to see was you were just hoping to see some continued signs, especially offensively, of what you saw against Illinois. I wasn't sitting here thinking, again, I wasn't thinking that, Purdue was going to go put 49 on them. But you would have just liked to see some of that progress that you saw against Illinois. You wanted to see some of that carryover against Oregon, and you really didn't see it. And like you said, to be shut out at home, that was almost, I feel like that's almost the worst thing that could have happened, especially offensively. I think we kind of all knew that Oregon was going to be able to score on us. You were hoping that maybe we'd be able to minimize that. And I think 30 giving up only 35 isn't the worst, literally, like statistically, it's not the worst that this defense has done this year. Yeah,
That part is
you just would have,
probably one of the best.
honestly, yeah, it might be. You just would have liked to see, you just would have liked, like, my whole thought going into that game was, I just want to see more, and like, just more progression, just building off of what you had offensively in the Illinois game, and then obviously, hoping to see more from the defense, just to kind of start in the, I guess to say, in the start moving in the right direction. So not necessarily for, like the, like against Oregon or against, Penn State or Ohio State, but more so get, like, seeing stuff that you feel like would put us in good position for possible games down the road, like the Northwestern game and the Michigan State game. And you didn't leave that game feeling any better about, like, what our prospects were going forward.
Yeah, and before we dive too deep into like the offense and defense, I do just want to give a quick shout out to the crowd. And Sim, you can probably kind of speak to being there. But watching the game, it just felt like another awesome environment under the lights, for a team that has really struggled this year to see the continued support from the fans was just really cool to see. So just want to give a shout out to everybody who was at the game, including you, sir.
Yeah, no, thank you. but no, I yeah, definitely. I mean, a night game at Ross 8 is always, the atmosphere is always going to be there. It's always going to be pretty electric. It's going to be buzzing. And it was, to start, I mean, the student section was packed out all the way up, to the top row. Yeah, man, there was just, again, like, I think it was like, you had that electricity, but I think you had just a lot of hope that was in, that was in the building, from, I guess, from a Purdue fan standpoint, of just like, all right, cool. Like, it's a night game. We've seen crazier things, and kind of what we saw last week. And I know everyone was like, yeah, we want Ryan Brown to start after last week. And he was, and you were just kind of hoping, like, just with all of that, that you kind of had, you were almost like kind of manufacturing some strong hopium. Shout out to Chris Bates. Yeah, it just so yeah, I mean, shout out to the fans. Yeah, because it definitely wasn't. It wasn't like it was a lack of fans that were there, for sure. It was definitely, it was still electric. Even it was still electric at the beginning of the game. Not so much at the end, obviously, but yeah.
So let's talk about the offense a little bit. And looking at the stats, the crazy thing is it really was, well, let me rephrase that. Looking at a few specific stats, it really wasn't that bad of a performance. If you look at, they rushed the ball for 208 yards on the ground, or yeah, I'm sorry, 208 yards, which was the second most yards that the Oregon Ducks have allowed all season. They had over 300 yards total offense. And also, quick shout out to Reggie Love, had his far and away the best game of his Boilermaker career with 93 yards on 11 carries, and just thought he ran, you know, for lack of a better term, just ran real hard. He looked really good out there. So that was positive to see, but you know, on the flip side, you get shut out. And really, I think even the more frustrating thing is it's more of Purdue getting in their own way again. It always seemed like they would take one or two steps forward and then one giant step back. And they could never just get anything going at all. And like we said, it's kind of been the MO of this offense the entire year.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, like it just, you're right. It's just, especially offensively, just stubbing themselves in the foot. You know, you think about the first drive, or like, you know, Oregon gets the ball, goes down, and they score. We have the ball, we're moving, we're in Oregon's territory. We get to a third and one. We run the RPO. Brown keeps it. There's two defenders on him. He ends up losing 8 yards. So then all of a sudden it's fourth and nine. You can't even entertain going forward on fourth down. And there were just a number of instances like that where we have some good things going. And then all of a sudden there's a big negative play. I'm thinking too, even about like just the penalties. So, you know, Oregon only had 4 for 25 yards. You know, we had 6 for 40. And I'm thinking about one possession in particular, I believe it was in the third quarter, where we had 2 false starts in three plays.
Total the whole game. Like, how does your offense at home have 4 false starts? How does that happen?
Right. You're at home. Exactly. You're at home. It continues to be the little things, the details that that continue to plague this team on both sides of the ball. But, you know, obviously it's like, especially offense when you don't score anything. But, you know, if you're looking at the stats, if you were just looking at the stats, it wouldn't look like we got shut out. We actually, by a few seconds, had more time. Like, we had the ball longer. Our time of possession was just over 30 minutes. Oregon was just under 29. We had 16 first downs, 4 for 12 on third down. It's not great, but it's not terrible. And even like average 5.1 yards a play. And like you said, you know, 208 rushing yards, and you're like, all right, well, like, that's not, you know, it's certainly not the numbers that were put up against Illinois, but again, like, Illinois is not Oregon. So you weren't necessarily expecting that same type of output, but you were hoping that even with the output you had here, you would have been able to finish off a few of these drives. Getting back in our, like, talking about like getting in our own way. You know, we get an interception, Dylan Gabriel overthrows his receiver. We get the pick. It's great. It's right before the end of the half. We're trying to drive down now and get some points. And then, you know, you have a couple good plays, and then you fumble the ball. And, you know, I've actually, you know, we talked about this offline. I was actually kind of surprised they didn't take a closer look at it, because I was curious if Max Clair, if you could say he had control and, you know, had actually taken a football move, but nonetheless, you know, it stands as being a fumble, and that immediately kills any type of momentum or, you know, that you're trying to build, because especially too, at the end of the half, we were going to get the ball to start off the second half. So if you can go down and even just get like 3 points, you're probably feeling a little bit better about yourself. It would have been 21-3. But then if you can come out in the second half and you can just build off of that, like, guys, we can move on these guys and we can score. It's kind of what happened with Illinois, is that you were able to put one drive together, and that was kind of able to springboard you to some more success. And again, it's just to have that turnover just completely shut off the water. Like you said at the top, man, it's becoming a broken record, you know, with just how much we're talking about seemingly the same things over and over again.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought they did some things well as a whole, but still just left a lot to be desired.
Absolutely.
Gotta get more plays, gotta get more big plays in the passing game. This is at least the second time I can think where Purdue's starting quarterback has had less than 100 yards passing.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give, I give, I mean, I give Ryan Brown a pass simply because,
And that's not a knock on Brown. I'm just talking like in general, big
just
picture, like
statistically, yeah.
to not have 100 yards passing in this day and age and have it multiple times, like
What is,
it's
unless you're
frustrating,
like,
man.
unless, well, to have less than 100 yards when you're not running the triple option, yeah, that's probably an issue. And like, I mean, not that I thought you were gonna, you were gonna get on Ryan Brown, but I know for myself, like, he very much so looked like a guy who, was a redshirt freshman in the second start playing against the second best team in the country. And I also think too, I feel like last week he probably just played more off of just like, just off of instinct, like, yep, I'm in the game. Let's look like let's fucking go. But it seemed as though watching him on Friday, it seemed as though like he was thinking, and almost to an extent, it was like he, and thus like, you start to press when things aren't going well. It's like, man, like I need, like we need to be able to get something. We need to be able to get something, as opposed to just kind of like trusting what your practice, trusting the game plan and whatnot, and going with it from there. So, yeah, I mean, again,
And I'll say
I
this
didn't.
too. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go. No, I was gonna say I didn't expect him to play as well as he did against Illinois. Again, it's just kind of like I thought with the whole offense, it's just kind of seeing some of the same glimpses, I guess, of like, oh, like you see some glimpses of like, oh, well, yeah, that's what we were able to do last week, and we're able to do it this week. And you just didn't really see that. So.
And I think too, one of the things talk about kind of like the moment almost like the lights were almost a little too bright. I think the lights were a little too bright for Coach Walters and his play calling. It just seemed very vanilla. And I feel like what really got Purdue going in the Illinois game was some of that play action, some trick plays, some downfield passes. And I just feel like for whatever reason, it just didn't see a whole lot of that. Now give credit to Oregon too, because their defense is really, really good. But I just felt like the play calling and the offense in general just took a step back and just I don't know, man, because you had all that positive momentum from the Illinois game, and it just
Yeah.
seemed like it's all gone now.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say I even with Walters, again, you got to remember that, like, for him calling plays, it's the second game that he's calling plays. And I think very much so, like, a quarterback needs to be in, like, if you want to run some stuff to kind of get them into a rhythm, maybe some short passes and stuff like that. I think it's the same thing with the play caller. I think that, like, if you can get into a rhythm, you start seeing some plays that are working, some sets that are working, you can get into a rhythm. And I think that's what worked to Walters' favor against Illinois, is that some of those plays started to work. Obviously, no one really had tape on Ryan Brown, so as he's able to use his feet, it starts to open up some more things, and now more things start to work. But like, it seemed as though Oregon was very content, very set on like, this guy will not run on us the way he did on Illinois. And when you take that away, and when Ryan Brown is actually still trying to run, well, then, and again, we talked about, like, you have a couple good plays, and then you have a negative play. Well, now on 3rd and 8, you're probably changing what you're hoping to call by a comparison, that if it was like 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2. So yeah, man, it just, but like you said, it just takes away from all of the positive vibes, and the positive, like the optimism that you thought you had gotten after that Illinois game. And it sucks. I feel like there's no other way to say it. It sucks, because I feel like if you'd seen some positivity here, like I said, or like, earlier, like, it would have given you some more positive hope about, like, well, would we be able to do this against like a Northwestern or against Michigan State? And I only call those two out because they're not ranked, and those are what the only two ranked teams we have. Right. I mean, hell, even that school down south is ranked, and on the cusp of, you know, cracking the top 10. So I mean, that'll be something to watch.
Overrated.
Don't even like.
Let's flip it over to the defense, and they played decent enough. They didn't do anything I felt like that really wowed you, but they kept Purdue within shouting distance for most of the game. And give credit to them. They gave up touchdowns on the first three drives, and everybody was probably thinking like, oh crap, this is about to get ugly real fast. And then they kind of settled in, and they generated a turnover there, like you talked about. They got home a couple times. They probably should have got home more if they had a different defensive scheme, but they played decent enough. And then, you know, they kept you within 21 for most of the first three quarters. And, you know, it goes back to kind of, again, with Groundhog Day and what we've been talking about with complimentary football. And just, I think it just finally got to him late. Offense really couldn't get anything going, and you end up giving up 35. But I think that they played well enough, and they kept the Purdue team within shouting distance for a majority of that game. And going into this game, that's kind of really all you could ask for.
Yeah. I think a lot of us were scared that, you know, Oregon might set a new high for how many points get scored on a Purdue defense this year. And like you said, they came out and they scored their first three drives. And I know I was sitting there thinking like, oh man, like, so I'm going to get to leave early. I'm about to be back at the house by 10. But then they held down the fort. They held water for the rest of the second, the entire third. So, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, you can say the defense gave the offense an opportunity that if they could have been able to put a couple drives together, that this game could have gone into the fourth, you know, 21-10, 21-13, 21-14, something like that. And then that would have been that would have been extremely encouraging. And then I think, you know, obviously even if they're not able to get the job done in the fourth, you know, come all the way back, I still think that would have been something positive that you could have taken away, because you'd have been like, okay, offense, you know, you had a slow start. The defense was able to kind of clamp down after a slow start on their own part. And then the offense was able to get it going. We were kind of, and you know, we were there. Cause you know, I feel like a lot of times that's what it happens. Like, in order to have like an upset, you know, you need to hang around and you need to be there in the fourth, you know, because that point, then the pressure shifts to Oregon, because you're not supposed to be, you know, they would not like in that situation, they're not supposed to be, you know, in a one score ball game against a 1-5 football team. So now they, you know, the onus is on them to make sure that they execute at the highest level. And it just would have been nice if, like, when the defense was holding it down, if the offense could have been, like you said, with complimentary football, being able to get a couple scores, that would have really changed the trajectory of the game.
Yeah. And I do want to give a quick shout out to Kendrick Breedlove. He got his third interception on the year, and also was tied game high 8 tackles. And, you know, the junior, first year at Purdue, transfer from Colorado, but he's kind of becoming that playmaker on the back end, one that Purdue desperately needs. And he seems to just kind of have a knack for being around the ball.
Yeah. I was going to say, it seems like the ball just continues to find him. You know, something that we talked about prior to him getting the first two turnovers of the year was just about, look, sometimes, man, you just got to be lucky. And you know, his pick was, you know, Dylan Gabriel overthrows a pass to his receiver, and, you know, he happens to be there. And but again, when you get an opportunity like that, you have to make the most out of it. You know, you have to turn that into something. So for him to be able to obviously to catch that, because I know we've seen a lot of plays across, you know, football at all levels where, you know, a defender has an easy opportunity at a pick and they drop it. So for him to be able to bring that in, like you said, third pick of the year. He is starting to assert himself as a playmaker on the defensive end, which you desperately need. And now, you know, if that can continue the rest of the way, and maybe you get some contribution from some other guys, like you were mentioning earlier, we were able to get home a couple times. But you know, you want to be able to get home more. But yeah, it's just a nice bright spot for the defense, because they haven't necessarily had a whole bunch of them this year.
Yeah, and one other that I did want to highlight was Will Helt. He is up and downs this year, but he did pick up his fifth sack of the year, and I think kind of quietly five sacks. Like when I first read it, I was like, "Damn, he's got five."
I was gonna say I did not know he had five.
Wanted just to give him a quick shout out too. But, you know, we don't have to go too deep into it, but just, you know, we talked about the offense in general and the play calling and how it took a step back. For the defense in general, I would argue it didn't take a step back, but that's not a good thing either, because it didn't move forward.
They just
continue to do the same. And when I'm saying they, I'm talking more so like play calling and defensive philosophy and
scheme.
I thought there was a perfect example. I think it was right before halftime, and Purdue blitzed from the edge and got home on a sack. And you saw it in the Illinois game also, when they sent Nylon Green on a blitz from the edge. That's how the defense got a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then you don't see it the rest of the game. And it's like, what are we doing, man? Like, you got to call some plays to help get the defense going. And I feel like it was a game where the defense went in knowing the speed and the weapons that Oregon had, and the game calling on defense specifically was very safe. And in a game where, to your point, you really don't have anything to lose, like, that's not the way to call a defense.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. It very much so seemed as though they were almost too scared of Oregon speed. And like, the thought is like, well, we don't want to let them get behind us, like in the secondary. But also it's like, all right, well, Oregon doesn't need to do that. You know, they can just run a bunch of crossing routes, screen passes, and just methodically move down the field that way. I mean, I think about, you know, there was a drive they had. It might've been the one to go up 21-0. But we pin them at like the half yard line. And then I think like 5-6 plays later, they scored. Like, it was a 99 yard drive. And it looked effortless. But also, you can look at, and I know you say we didn't want to go too far in the weeds, but you could see several times pre-snap, you could tell like, okay, yeah, there's an opportunity here for Oregon. I'm with you, man. Like, it's not necessarily that the defense did anything worse. It's just like we continue to see the same thing from them schematically. And it's puzzling, because if we see it, and you know, I watched the broadcast, as I told you earlier, I'd watched the broadcast I watched it yesterday. And the announcers were calling it out. It's like, if we can all see it and the announcers are calling it out, you know, it makes you curious of what are the conversations that aren't taking place. Like, rather, what are the conversations that are taking place within that Purdue, within those coaches meetings, you know, obviously specifically defense in this case, but like, what's going on there, you know, because you're getting beat the same way. And what is it? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. It's kind of mind boggling. Like, okay, like, is this like, are we going to continue to do this the whole year? Are we actually going to try and do something else? Like you said, bringing pressure, and when it yields something good, I feel like, and then you don't see it again, it's like, well, why not? You know, like if you want to try to upset the tempo and the rhythm, you have to do something different. You can't just let them sit back there and just pick apart your defense. It's just been more of the same from the defense, albeit, yeah, they did have a good stretch there between the second and third quarter, but it's just more of the same from them schematically, and that's the thing that is discouraging, more than anything, I think, because it's like, man, like that really needs to, there needs to be some type of change. I feel like we would all feel a little differently if at least we saw they were trying different stuff. Cause then you're like, okay, well, like, yeah, they're not just trying to get beat the same way. If they were trying some different stuff, sending pressure, you know, trying to not give as much cushion on the outside, stuff like that, you at least would feel like, okay, like, yeah, we are trying some different stuff, but it just doesn't look that way. It doesn't look that way.
I mean, at this point, what the hell do you have to lose? Can it get much worse? Like, I mean, you got to do something differently, try to switch it up. And like, I don't know. It's like they go in and don't have specific game plans for teams. It's like, just run our defense and that'll work. And we're 1-6 and 0-4. And largely because of that is because that plan's not working.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how you fix it, but to your point, doing the same thing over and over again is not going to fix it. So let's see if we can get something different and just try something new, because like I said, what do you have to lose at this point?
Right. Yeah. That's the thing, is I just, you've had 7 games worth of this. And again, if we scrape out the Indiana State game, you've had 7 games where your defense has been Swiss cheese for the most part. So you'd like to see them try some different stuff. And who knows, man, maybe like, because they don't have a game this week. You know, maybe there are some heightened conversations, but there's nothing really to indicate to you to make you think that like they're going to turn around on November 2nd, you're going to see them against Northwestern, and all of a sudden like the defense philosophy will change, or you're going to start seeing different schemes and stuff like that. There's nothing to give you that level of optimism. So I'm not gonna sit here and say I'll hold my breath, but yeah, it's just like you said, like you might as well now. You have nothing else to lose.
So let's go ahead and switch gears, and because I'm getting angry here, let's talk about some fun stuff.
We're a basketball school anyways, man. We're a basketball school anyways.
We sure as shit ain't a football school right now.
Look like a fucking FCS football school, that's for sure.
But I do want to spend some time and highlight the volleyball team, because what happened over the weekend was pretty freaking cool, if you ask me. So in case you missed it, and if you did, shame on you. But if you did, the volleyball team hosted IU at Mackey Arena over the weekend, and they took Indiana to the shed, beat them up, swept them in 3 sets, but also they sold out Mackey Arena, and in doing so, set a Big Ten record for attendance with 14,876 fans. And I don't know, Sim, if you had a chance to see any of it. I watched some of it and got to see some highlights, and just the atmosphere and how loud it was. And it really felt like a Purdue basketball home game. Like Mackey was rocking. And it was just really cool to see the turnout there.
Yeah, no, I shame on me, 'cause I didn't get to see it. Yeah, I've seen some clips, or just like perusing online and whatnot, trying to catch up. And yeah, man, it looked and felt like it would have been like you could have very well thought that was a basketball game that was going on, in terms of just how loud, how electric, Mackey was. And you know, you love to see that so many people would come out and support the women like that. Like, you know, you said 14,876, I guess the previous record, they beat the previous record by almost 4,000. Was 4,000 fans. It was nice to see that, for that many people to show up for our ladies to respond that way, come out and just dispatch of Indiana real quick, like 25-9 in the third set. I mean, like, Jesus, like it just appeared, just utter domination. And you know, just continuing the hot streak that they've been on. That they've had a couple blips bumps on the road, but for the most part, they've played very well this year. And so, yeah, it was just great. It was great to see that. It's great to see that many people show up at Mackey for the ladies to respond and play that well. And again, like, I'm never going to complain if any Purdue team beats IU. So, yeah.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I would be remiss if I didn't highlight these two stats, where the Purdue volleyball team moves to 41-11 all time in home matches versus Indiana, and have won 20 of their last 22 matchups against IU to bring home the Monon Spike trophy. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there just as a friendly reminder that IU is getting dominated in volleyball. So with that, that puts Purdue at 15-4 on the year, 6-2 in the Big Ten. And I did just want to throw just a couple of stats out there, too, that I thought were pretty cool. If you've been following this team and this success that they've had, they lead the Big Ten. And when I say they, just the Purdue team as a whole, lead the league in kills with 970, blocks with 196, digs with 1,058, and assists with 902. So anytime you lead the league in four of the major categories, you're doing something right.
Yeah, man. And I'm sure there's probably if there's one area that I bet they probably want to clean up, is probably the serving. And I just think back to that Nebraska match. But like you said, like, to be leading the league in these categories. And, you know, we've talked about in multiple episodes about how, like, the Big Ten as a conference year in and year out is one of, if not the best in the country. That's obviously saying that you're doing a lot of good, that you're doing well, and that you're, that this team could possibly have greater success as the season moves forward.
And so moving forward there this week, they got a couple of home matches. They will take on Ohio State Wednesday at 7 p.m. That game will be on Big Ten Network. And then something really cool again next weekend, they will return back to Mackey for another matchup. This time the competition gets a little tougher, a top 10 matchup against number 9 Wisconsin, but they play at 3:30 on NBC. So really cool. Hopefully Mackey is packed again for that. And I mean, why would you not? You get a top 10 matchup on NBC. Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. And also, I mean, because the football team's not going to be playing, you can watch hopefully another Purdue team actually, and hopefully have better success against Wisconsin than the football team did. So, the fact that they're actually both on like regular TV this week in terms of Big Ten Network, and then, you know, on NBC, definitely going to try to make sure I tap in on that. I'm going to try to record the game on Wednesday because I'll be out of town. But that game on Saturday, I'm gonna have to, that's gonna be butts and seats for me. So I'm definitely gonna watch that live and probably stress the same way I was last time when I was watching that Nebraska game. So I'm sure my heart is super excited about that.
So good luck to the Lady Boilers there this week with a couple of home matchups. And did just want to highlight too, as we kind of get everything wrapped up. Like you said, Sim, we are officially a basketball school. And so with that, basketball season is literally right around the corner. The Purdue team will play a scrimmage match this weekend against Creighton. And then a couple of former Boilermakers will get their NBA seasons tipped off this week. Jaden Ivey and Zach Edey get started. Jaden and the Pistons will play Wednesday night against the Pacers, and Zach Edey and the Grizzlies will play Wednesday night also against the Utah Jazz. So good luck to both of those guys. Pretty cool to think about two guys from that 2020 recruiting class both playing in the NBA, and I think everybody's really excited to see Edey, you know, make his debut. But don't sleep on Jaden either, because I think Jaden's poised to have a big year with a Detroit.
Yeah, no, I think this, yeah, this is definitely this could be a really big year for Jaden. I think I was watching one of their preseason games, and they were talking about how it's like it's starting to look like him and Cade Cunningham can like they might have figured out like kind of how to coexist, because both those guys need the ball in their hands, but obviously there's only one basketball. So if that has happened, you just can see like hopefully Jaden that the game has slowed down for him, much like when you know when he was at here at Purdue, and how from you know freshman to sophomore year the game definitely slowed down for him. We all saw what happened after that. And then obviously Big Zach, you know, time to start going out there and proving the haters wrong that he's more than, you know, hashtag just tall. So yeah, I just super excited. And like you said, it's really interesting the fact that too that those two guys from the same recruiting class, that not only that they're both in the league, but like they're, you know, both were lottery picks, and that they're both going to be getting, you know, good minutes. So I'm excited to watch both of them. Like I was telling you before we started recording, I really hope that League Pass is free this year, free this week rather, so that way I can you know I can watch them.
Shoot, if it's free this year, I won't argue about that either.
Bro,
But
if it's free this year, this might fully turn to a basketball podcast.
no, but good luck to both those guys as they get their season started this week. And that will just about wrap up this episode. Want to again thank everybody for listening, for continuing to give us your love and support. Really appreciate all of the ratings, reviews, and just kind of everybody spreading the word there. So thank y'all. Just a little note with the bye week, there won't be any midweek episode, but just be on the lookout because we got some fun stuff planned for hopefully over the weekend leading into next week. So just wanted to highlight that. Again, thank everybody for listening, and boiler up.
Yes, sir.